You cannot compare Orville to any other forestry project in the world. It's absolutely unique.
Wilderness is a very important concept. Deliberately setting aside pieces of this planet and let them express themselves unhindered by our activities. Orville stands out in India because it has been able to protect its forests against all odds.
The Orville Forest is the most advanced experiment of recreating a tropical forest, a jungle.
So welcome to Orville Radio. Welcome to Aravindan, welcome to Christoph, and welcome from Nadia. So we are here today to speak about Orville Film Festival and in particular to talk about your movie, the movie that's being shown during the coming days, during the festival, Ever Slow Green, Reafforestation in Orville, South India. So before we talk about it, I would love to hear a bit from you, like who you are, why do you work together a little bit like this, starting from Christoph.
So I'm Christoph. I live and work in Orville. I came to Orville in 2008. And before I came to Orville, I studied media technology engineering in Germany. And I worked in video and film post-production. And when I came to Orville, I continued working with video and did a couple of short films and worked in different media projects. Also was involved in the previous editions of the Orville Film Festival. This year I'm not, because I was so busy with making this film. This film is my first feature-length documentary that I ever made.
And Aravind?
So I'm based out of Pondicherry, and my connection to Orville actually goes back long. I mean, it really goes long way back, because when I used to be a lawyer, and we used to be the standing counsels for Orville, and then I switched to filmmaking, and I passed out of the Film Institute, which is in Pune, which is known as Film and Television Institute of India, and I had worked in commercial industries in Bombay, Chennai, and Hyderabad, but there was a time when I need to take a call to switch to Pondicherry, and because I just wanted to tell the stories that matter to us, such as this, which we had made. Last year, or the last film festival, I had the opportunity to be a part of the selection panel, and I thoroughly and immensely enjoyed it. And like last time, both Christoph and me were actually kind of involved in the film festival, and this year we are just standing back and trying to actually present what we have produced. I mean, he has produced, but then what we created for others to actually judge.
So a little bit to clarify your roles.
Yeah.
What have you done in the movie? What's your role?
I'm the producer, I'm the director, I'm the editor. And I did the recordings of all the interviews being used in the film.
Okay.
And the color correction.
And the color correction so far, yeah. Up to this state, I'm still looking for additional funds, because I would like to do professional color correction. So is there any donors out there? I need some more money.
Cool. And Aravind, then you were the
cinematographer.
Yes. So you dealt with photo and...
Yeah, basically my involvement with respect to this particular film, I had collaborated as a cinematographer,
mm-hmm.
which means the so-called the visual aspect of the film is what I was mostly collaborating. And to put things in perspective, like when we work in a place like Orville or in Pondicherry, we multitask, and I think in this I had seen Christoph multitask as a producer and a editor and a director and and whatnot, as a production boy, as a production manager, or whatever the nomenclatures that you will find outside. So it is a lot of burden that he had taken on his head, so we cannot actually straitjacket it as just the director or anything.
Multi-layered and multitasking.
Because in this collaboration, it's like we'll have to take responsibility beyond our roles, and I'd seen him taking that.
And same applies to Arvind, because if you see professional film productions, the director of photography never operates the camera. He is beside the camera, and there's a camera operator. So Arvind was also operating the camera and taking care of the overall visual aspect. Then we had, for additional drone footage, we had a drone operator. In those setups, it was more like his usual role as a
director of photography. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so stepping into the theme of the movie that we've heard at the beginning of this program, forest. We speak about forest, we speak about reforestation, and this lush green you can see all around the movie, all inside and throughout the movie, is amazing, really amazing. I wanted to know, why have you chosen the topic of the forest as the main theme of your movie? Why this was the main interest of yours recently?
Well, from an early point on coming to Oroville, the forest was one of the most impressive things I could see around when I came here. Because when I learned that this forest has all been created from scratch, in the beginning in 1968 it was a complete barren desert, and then this forest has been planted, this was something I've never heard of before. Like, coming from Europe, whenever I had been in a forest, I basically always had the feeling, okay, this forest had always been here and will always be here. This will always be here got relativized when I heard about something like deforestation. To really create a forest from scratch, that was so impressive that, that really got me. Then, after living in Oroville, in 2011, I moved into the place where I'm still living now, which is in a small forest of Oroville, in Anusuya Forest. So there also, it was new to me to live in a natural environment and just to see what it does to you to be surrounded by nature in that direct sense is, something that was very surprising to me to experience, and that something that I would never ever want to miss again. So, and then living in this place, slowly I also more and more got into being involved in forest work in Oroville. And, still doing my media work and being impressed by the forest kind of naturally led to this symbiosis of making a film about the forest.
Yeah, living completely immersed into forest gives a lot of inspiration, I guess. Mm. And then I would love to know from Aravind, how did you end up working together? What's your relationship beside the fact that you work for cinema and he does? How do you know each other and how you got to be involved into this project?
I just designed by providence, nothing else. But I got introduced to Christoph through Krishna. And we had earlier done a very small project before this. And I think it basically boils down to trust and respect. And so I think the collaboration is just generally based on that. And there are common interests, of course, like how he speaks about the forest that he wanted to actually film. That I was also deeply interested in environment conservation and ecology. So this, I saw it off as an opportunity for us to actually probably visually present something which I find it extremely miraculous that, in 40 years' time, you can actually show the world a phenomenal transformation within a lifetime. And that always has fascinated me. So when Christoph pitched this idea that, I'd always wanted to make a film on forest, I said, count me in if you want somebody to actually do the work of cinematographer. So that is why I deeply respect and believe in whatever the spirit of Orwell that stands for and what the forest of Orwell actually represents. And I always felt that the story should be told by a person from Orwell, because it will have a layer which may be seen as only as a kind of a small effort by a group of people. But there is much more to it.
Yeah, and related to what you just said, the fact that the forest has to be spoken about from people who live the forest, who live in the forest, who know the forest. I found all the spoken parts so beautifully inspiring and interesting. And yeah, I'm wondering, how did you, maybe this is for Christoph, how did you manage the spoken parts? Did you have a script that you asked them to read or recitate, or were there any spontaneous sharings? How did you manage that?
I was mostly unprepared, I have to say. I chose people that I knew were involved in forest work in Oroville that I wanted to interview, and then one by one I approached them, and also I gained a lot of experience, like the first interviews that I did, so many technical mistakes I made that slowly got better, but the questions basically evolved from the conversation with them. I did not really have a script of questions I asked them. Only the one common question I asked everybody is, tell your name and tell me when you came to Oroville. And everything after evolved in the conversation. Yeah. And then, yeah, I ended up with a total of 14 hours of audio material of all the interviews. So then to work my way through this mass of audio interviews, it was very essential to work with Leslie Brannigan, a friend here in Oroville who is experienced with filmmaking also. And she helped me a lot to sort out this amount of audio material and slowly develop the storyline of the film from that.
How many people did you interview?
17 people in total.
Different age, different people. It was really, really broad approach. And I have another question that's more technical and goes to both of you. The choice, the stylistic choice, because I don't know who has chosen what and what's the role behind this. I noticed a lot of slow motion and a lot of drone being used. That's quite amazing because you get a nice perspective to show the forest itself. Yeah. But I want to know, why have you chosen to go so slow in the rhythm of the picture moving? And yeah, again, drone use, I want to know why. What's the reason behind? What's the style you wanted to achieve?
So the aspect of the slow motion was there from the beginning, but early on when we started actually shooting, the idea came up, what about if I really constantly from beginning to end stay within slow motion? So that, from a conceptual point of view, made sense to me also, because it is about creating a forest, which in itself is an extremely slow process, as a visual allegory to this, choosing to have it all in slow motion.
A slow process of growth, you know, as the forest grows. The movie grows. That's nice. Well, it also gives the opportunity to watch all the varieties of species and appreciate all the different shades and colors we have around. Yeah. I found it beautiful, but I was wondering why so slow and all the way. I mean, all the movie, it's particular. I've never seen a movie with this. I mean, maybe some, but it's not so common, you know. Yeah. And drones?
Well, having the nowadays, it's technically very possible to use drones in a high quality setup. First of all, also curiosity. I always wanted to see, what would this forest look from above?
Yes, there you are. And it looks nice from above.
I mean, it ended up only being three production days we spent with a drone. Like, compared to that, the camera shooting all over Oroville stretched over a period of 4 months, from middle of September until middle of January. Shooting not every day, but shooting some maybe 4 days per month or something. So it stretched Yeah, but then the drone footage was compressed within 3 days.
And Aravind, did you find any challenge in your roles and tasks you had?
Huge.
Like what would you like to share?
No, with respect to, I mean, the why yeah. slow motion on the drones.
Yeah.
In fact, when Christoph initially showed me a script, I mean, script in the sense like the idea of how he would want to present this entire film, it was very beautiful because he actually wanted to shoot it throughout the season for a year.
Mm.
And then to show the transformation of the same space in different rhythms of nature.
The seasonal changes.
Yeah. And then what happens. And then, you know, it would have been a very, very beautifully immersive experience. Definitely, yes. But then due to restrictions of budget and resources and all those things, we restricted it to probably 4 months or 5 months, whatever time we shot. Now, with respect to actually having slow motion, it just, one of the things for me which probably made sense for this film to actually be in slow motion is that the moment should linger. And the poeticness of what we see should be kind of assimilated. So these two things, probably slow motion made it a little more easier for us within a short span of time to actually map a huge canvas which happened over 40 years. So it just gave us that liberty to show us beauty in each and every frame of it. At least, not we, I would just come to that. We didn't do anything. We just, we will go to the spot and just, okay, let's do this. Whatever it is, let's be guided by what are the bigger force. So no great plans or just that, no, we should have it like this, we should put it like this, nothing like that. Everything was very spontaneous, very extempo. We didn't have the luxury of much planning also. With respect to drones, yes, of course. I was also very curious as to how this would look from above. Because I think, apart from the fact that in the history of human civilization, I think this is the time where everyone is seeing a lot of aerial footage.
Yeah.
Even 20 years back, people had not seen this much aerial footage as we see right now, this time actually. But then, one is to actually geographically see what it is. Other thing is to actually figure out the aesthetics of this, of what we see. Because the challenge that you are speaking about, I have one singular challenge, which was the color green. Because from you know, 2 feet or 6 inches away from you to infinity, it's all green. And it's all different shades of green, nothing else. And
you got lost there. Apparently.
Yes, you'll have to grapple with that overwhelming experience of green. What to take, what not to take, what to reject, how to frame, you know, all these things. So, that in fact, the very first time we did a test shoot, I came back and told Christoph, this is very difficult. We cannot do
ever
this.
Ever slow green.
Green. So I shared him that, you know, this is the thing that we have. This is the challenge. So it was, I in fact was sharing this with a few others also, that then we just surrendered completely to that green. And I just treated it as a canvas of the mother. And then it becomes like a painting of a Mark Rothko or a Hindustani classical, where it is the same raga, but you will just keep exploring it in different dimensions. And the different dimensions keeps giving you different multiplicity of manifestations. So it just, we surrendered to that green and then it guided us. Nothing else.
Bowing to the green.
Yes.
Very interesting, very good, and very pleasant. Green is such a pacific, pacifying color.
Yeah, it is.
The effect of watching an hour of green is really soothing the mind, making you also motivated in being here and in fighting the battles we happen to fight for any reason, like highway or any particular challenge we may find in the development of the world around us. What I wanted to know, and then we may want to close, is more materialistic aspect. So I know that it costs a lot of efforts in terms of work and in terms of money to produce such a work, such a beautiful and inspiring work. How did you find funds, and how did you manage to financiate all this work with all these people working for the project?
Well, that's where it basically started with. The project proposal that I submitted to the 50th anniversary of Auroville got approved, and I got some funds from the 50th anniversary of
Auroville.
That's
beautiful to hear.
So that's where it all started. Still, if you compare it to a film production for a film of this length, it is a fraction of what is normally needed. So it all depended on people of goodwill like Arvind, like others being involved in the team who really liked the project and wanted to be part of it, even though not being paid properly as you would be in the outside world.
Yeah.
This is something so unfortunately typical of Auroville, of, you know, trying to make the best out of nothing. And I hope that during, you know, the next steps of your production career, you will find more funds, more and more funds. Is there anything that you would like to ask to the listeners related to this? Because you mentioned at the beginning donors for...
Yeah, so the state where we are at now with this film is the editing and the sound mix and mastering is all done. I started to submit this film to festivals around the globe. Many of these festivals have a special focus on environmental and topics related to nature, but also some general festivals for documentary films. And to really reach a standard to have a chance at these festivals, this film needs an additional color correction.
Color correction.
Color correction, and then also a process to bring it into a certain format, which is called a DCP, which is the format that is required to show a film in cinematic cinema theaters.
In Cannes Festival or
for Venice example,
Festival.
But even smaller festivals that use regular cinemas, they require this format. And it is kind of a tricky process to create this format. So it is a bit costly to get this done by professional studios. So, yeah.
If anyone feels generous and willing to participate in this project, please contact us.
Thank you.
Let us know. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nadia.
It was so interesting to hear everything. And let's enjoy this film festival. This time it will be different from you. I presume
finally
you
I can sit in
happy.
A seat and watch films.
Because Christoph has been the technical director for the past editions. So now there's somebody else taking your place. Cool. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.